Well, good morning. It's great again to be together today. Yesterday, Patricia and I went to the flower show at Hog's Back and walked around and just marveled in God's creation and just enjoyed being together for the day. We're busy looking at the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. In which the writer is giving us a number of instructions to follow because of all that we've learned about Jesus in the first 12 chapters. Last week I gave this section in chapter 13 this title. I said, What We Must Do Because We Know Jesus Is Superior in Every Possible Way. So, as we looked at the first six verses last week in part one, I made the following points. Because we know Jesus is superior in every way possible, we must persistently show Christian love. We must be people who are hospitable. We must protect fellow believers who are under attack. We must promote marital purity. And we must practice lifestyle simplicity. So today we're going to read from verse 7 through to verse 16. But first, a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We know that it does not return void. And even as we read, we thank you, Lord, that these are your words. These words are truth. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help me to do justice to the truth that they are. In Jesus' name I ask that. Amen. So verse 7 carries on with these practical instructions. The writer to the book of Hebrews says, Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burnt outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for a city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Surely some practical stuff there. So let's do part two of this message, what we must do because we know Jesus is superior in every possible way. So as we consider these verses today, first of all, because we know Jesus is superior in every possible way, we must ponder your pastor's practices. Verse 7 says, Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So as we think of this verse, as we ponder a pastor's practices, surely it's difficult for me to preach and talk about myself, but it's good. You must measure me against the word of God. So there's some clear measurements here. First of all, have there been leaders? The word translated leaders simply means to govern. You see, true leaders are those that govern the organization. They shouldn't be dictators. They shouldn't be visionary, of course, but still team players. They must be able to lead, but also be open to being taught. So as you think about your pastor and think about me, have I been a good leader? It's important for me to know that I have or have not. Secondly, have they preached God's word? You see, for me, the measure of an effective ministry should be mature believers. In the end, I as a pastor want to leave people or want to have people who are able to teach others. And I want you to always have you to be learning from me. I want you to gain knowledge from me so that you can pass it on to others. I've said this in the past and I'll say it again in the future. I encourage you, no, I challenge you to test what I'm preaching against God's word. And if you find that I'm preaching error, you have my permission, please fire me on the spot. Friends, as you ponder your pastor's practices, make sure they're preaching God's word. Thirdly, does their walk match their talk? You see, it says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. What kind of example is the pastor setting? Are their lives worth imitating? Friends, we're all fail. We'll make mistakes, but surely we need to at least be attempting to follow the word of God in every possible way. The opening word of this verse is remember. That's my final thing. As I want you to ponder your pastor's practices, please don't forget to give pastoral families a thought. Many of you will know or may not know that being a pastor can be one of the loneliest jobs in the world. You see, many people think that the pastor and their families are super spiritual, and they steer away from them because they are afraid that they'll be judged if they fail in the pastor's presence. Well, let me tell you, folk, pastors' families and pastors fail as well. We also make mistakes. We're also just saved sinners. We're just ordinary people on a road, but we have an extraordinary God. Friends, ponder your pastor's practices. Remember them. Number 7. Because we know Jesus is superior in every possible way, we must pursue pure doctrine. Verse 9 says, don't get carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods. There are three things the writer to the book of Hebrews is telling us here. He's saying, first of all, beware of new teaching. And I say new in inverted commas. In the Greek, we are warned against two possible or potentially false things. The first one is this: teaching which blends the old and the new. There's a lot of teaching around in churches these days which tries to bring Old Testament practices into a New Testament church. Friends, this is one of the main reasons the book of Hebrews was written. Friends, the book of Hebrews was written to tell us the Old Testament and its practices are nothing. They're gone. They passed. Friends, Jesus is superior to the Old Testament. Oh, it sounds so romantic to kind of have all these things from the Old Testament blowing the shofar and whatever it may be, friends. Those are from the past. Let's not get caught up in trying to blend the old and the new. We have a New Testament, friends. Let's seek to live like a New Testament church. The second thing that we're warned against is teaching which comes from foreign sources. In this case, I'm thinking of so many in our day that call themselves prophets. They've got a new word from the Lord. Friend, let me just remind you. The rule of a prophet in the Old Testament was, if the prophecy did not come true, the prophet would be stoned to death. Why don't we practice that now? If they want to be prophets, come on, be true to the scripture. In our day, when a prophet speaks nonsense, he blames the people for not having enough faith, where he is the liar himself. So be careful of new teaching, friends. Pursue pure doctrine. There is a truth that has come to us through the centuries, friends, that we need to measure. Measure against the Word of God and measure against the great truths of the faith that have come to us. The second thing the writer to the Hebrews reminds us about is that salvation is by grace alone. He says there, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. Friends, the Bible is clear. Ephesians says, it is by grace you have been saved. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God. And then the next point, the writer is saying, salvation is not by works. He says, not by ceremonial food. They've got no value. And Ephesians says the same thing. Verse 9 says, not by works, so that nobody can boast. Friend, the minute somebody wants to add something to Jesus, it becomes a cult. The best definition of a cult is simply this: Jesus plus religion. The minute somebody wants you to do something more than putting your faith and trusting in the grace and mercy of Christ, friends, it becomes a cult at that point in time. Or it becomes a works-based religion at that point in time. Any religious practices which go over and above faith, grace through faith, friends, is works-based, has no place in the Christian church today. So, pursue pure doctrine. Friends, the church needs to be reminded to constantly keep that in place. The eighth point he makes in this whole message is this: because we know Jesus is superior in every way possible, we must present the same sacrifice that Jesus did. He says, we have an altar from which those who minister the tabernacle have no right to eat. The priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burnt at the outside the camp. So what's he saying? First of all, we must claim Christ's sacrifice as our own. He says in verse 10, we have an altar that those who minister the tabernacle can't eat from. Friends, we've got to eat at the Lord's table. We've got to partake in his body and his blood. That's the only sacrifice that God will ever accept. Nothing in your hand you can bring except what Christ has done. Friends, not only that, as we present the same sacrifice that Jesus did, we must also take up our cross and follow Jesus. Verse 13 says, let us go outside the camp. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. What's the disgrace he bore, friends? The disgrace, the cross, is the symbol of disgrace. And so we must take up our cross and follow Jesus. We must gladly be willing to do what he did, live sacrificially. And the third thing we must do is we present the same sacrifice as Jesus did. Friends, let's never forget what Jesus told us and reminded us that this world is not our home. We're just passing through, friends. Verse 14 says, for yeah, we do not have an enduring city, but we're looking forward to a city that is to come. Jesus said that he's going to prepare a place for us and coming back to take us to be where he is also. Friends, because Jesus is superior, the only thing you can do is hang on to him. Present the same sacrifice he did. You can't come with anything else, friends. It's only what Jesus has done. Take up your cross and follow him. Like Jesus was willing to go and offer himself, we too should be willing to do that. Ninthly, because we know Jesus is superior in every way possible, we must have a passion for praise. Verse 15 says, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. What is that sacrifice of praise? First of all, it's the fruit of our lips. Our lips that confess his name. Friends, God is looking for our lips to proclaim his name. There's going to come a point, friends, where we're reminded every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Might as well do it now, because one day you'll be forced. Now you can do it willingly. But not only must we praise with our lips, we must praise with our pockets. What verse 16 says, don't forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Remember what Jesus said when he was talking about separating the sheep and the goats? He says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go and visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whenever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So friends, praise. Praise with our lips, but praise with our pockets as well. That's what God is looking for from us. And then there's one final instruction. It's found in verse 8. Because we, friends, know Jesus is superior in every way possible, we must proclaim the person of Christ. The writer to the book of Hebrews simply says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Friend, we can do no better. There can be no better thing for us to do than lift the name of Jesus. Proclaim his eternal claim on each of us. So, because we know Jesus is superior in every possible way, we must persistently show Christian love. Be people who are hospitable, protect fellow believers under attack, promote marital unity, practice lifestyle simplicity, ponder your pastor's practices, pursue pure doctrine, present the same sacrifice as Christ did, have a passion for praise, and proclaim the person of Christ. Friend, if you do nothing other than the last one, you probably will be doing all the others as well. For the more you speak of Christ, the more you lift his name, the more you seek his glory and honor, the easier the other becomes. Lift Jesus higher. Let's pray together. Lord, we lift your name. We proclaim that you are the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Lord bless you as you go through the rest of this day.